Hey, everybody. Nice to have you checking out the podcast this week. Before we get to my guest, we got Hanukkah, Christmas. We're in the holiday season. Christmas is not far away, a few days away. I was thinking about gifts, starting to buy gifts for people. Buy good gifts. Look, I know it's been a rough year economically, but if you got money, whatever money you have, even if it's a small gift, have it be an appropriate gift. That would be the word, appropriate, because I am scarred for life from my childhood. I got lousy gifts. I really did. I mean, first of all, like, I wanted a guitar, like, really badly. I was like 11. And I hemmed and hawed and blah, blah, blah. And finally, my parents gave me one Christmas, and I flipped it over, and it had half a back. Yeah. They got me a defective guitar. My mother said, well, I know you're not going to play for very long anyway. And I said, I'm not going to play it at all because it has half a back. It's good, though. I stored all my socks in it, so I used it in that way. And but clothes. I always got clothes. And what little kid doesn't want clothes every year for Christmas? Not just any clothes. Clothes that never fit clearly on the rack as you just walk in to, like, a TJ Maxx or whatever, you know, bargain basement pit they shopped at. First thing is, like, I got 17 extra large sweaters when I was 12, between the ages of like 12 and 14, and they never fit. And then I would get jeans, and the only jeans I would get is Sears Roebuck Toughskin Husky size. Husky, yeah. That does a lot for a young, impressionable kid who's insecure. You know, just have a label that says Husky. Why don't you just replace it and have a label that says fatty, fat pig, go on a diet, fatty, as a label. I mean, that would really complete it. And brown. They were always chocolate brown. Listen, if you need Husky size Sears Toughskin jeans and Husky brown, you just reach out to me on social media, and I will ship them myself. And everything was irregular too. I got everything irregular. My mother would say, "Oh, well, irregular. It's like getting a bargain because it's just like the regular. It's just a little irregular. Yeah, a little irregular." She gave me a short sleeve suit. All right. Anyway, I hope you have a great holiday. It's not just about the gifts, I know, but if you're going to get a gift for somebody, get an appropriate one, something they're going to be psyched about. All right. Enjoy the guest this week, Louis Gossett Jr. I was really excited to talk to him, you know, legendary actor. So enjoy that. Have a great holiday, everybody, and stay safe. Very excited to have my guest on this week. A great, great actor, an icon in Hollywood. He's an Oscar winner for his work in An Officer and a Gentleman. He's won an Emmy for his portrayal of Fiddler in Roots on TV. You've seen him in Boardwalk Empire, Madam Secretary. You can be seen in HBO's Watchmen. You could see him at the market at Ralph's in about 10 minutes. No, I'm just kidding. he's everywhere. It's Louis Gossett Jr. Great to have you on. I've been a really big fan of yours for a long time.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. So you're promoting a new show, The Reason. A film out coming out Monday, December 15th. It's going to be on all digital platforms. And I think it's really timely. It follows a small town pastor and his wife and their sick child. And a mysterious man shows up to give hope. And I'm wondering, did you take this project because one of the reasons maybe you felt like we needed a message like this right now?
Absolutely. It's my message, my lifetime message. It's the old consciousness when we were in the depression before, that everybody who at certain ages have something to do for the benefit of the whole family. Hmm. When you become an elder, that's what you do. You tell stories, you remind young people that God is always in charge, nothing else. There's no loopholes. And now is the time for God to be in charge of all of us. Sink or swim. It's for all of us. It's going to take all of us to save all of us.
Yeah.
That's our challenge. In order for us to do that, we've got to get our enmity and our ego, all that stuff's got to go out of the way. We've got to do that on a daily basis. And the miracles happen. And you'll see that in this movie.
Do you feel, you know, given what's happened with the pandemic, on top of, you know, we're so divisive now, there's race issues, which we'll talk about in a minute, because I know that's been a big part of your life and you have a foundation, but what do you feel is the true meaning of hope? Has it changed during the pandemic? Has, and this time, the last 4 years, has your faith and hope in man sort of been weakened at all? What has this done to you?
Actually, my faith and hope in man has gotten strength. We got the proper president in there. The children, if you look at them, and in schools and in sports, the show business, you can see a complete diversity, some beautiful faces. So we're not separating. We're what the original forefathers wrote. So we're a young culture only just now getting to the full meanings of the Declaration of Independence. So what kind of fresh kids? We're not going to make those mistakes. But God sent us signals. Mm-hmm. And this pandemic is a signal. It's going to take all of you to defeat all of this. Mm-hmm. And once you learn how to do that, you'll never have the problem again. It has to do with deep, abiding faith in one another for the benefit of us all.
Do you think that the pandemic almost came about because there's a higher purpose to bring us together, that we needed something to bring us together?
I agree 100%.
Wow.
We have to remember all those signals, like the hurricanes, the tsunamis, the storms, are messages to pay attention to, what we're on Earth to pay attention to. Mm-hmm. You can't take in of the oceans, the freshness of the air, and the tenderness of the meats and the eggs and the plants, all for everybody to eat properly and grow on a daily basis together.
Interesting. You've talked about, you have such a great message, a broader message that we just talked about, but also sort of a practical message in pursuing one's art or craft or whatever you do. And there's an interesting quote. You say, you have to stay open. School is never out. Creative, stay naked, sensitive to parts, so you can be malleable from one movie to another. And then you say, the challenge is personal, not professional, in talking about your craft and your art and the entertainment industry. What do you mean by the challenge is personal and not professional?
Well, it's something that when you're an artist and you're on a stage or a small camera or a large camera, you're looking to see if there's any lies in the performance. And the more that you believe in what you're doing from the center of your soul to the camera to you, the less they see it, the more admirers you get from your film. So my public has lasted, close to 70 years. I started in 53. And I haven't worked a day in my life. It's a wonderful project.
That's great to hear. How did you learn that lesson that it's beyond the technique as an actor and that there has to be a truth in there that comes through?
You do it in your experiences, some things that are not as full as others. Mm-hmm. And you make a decision never to make that same mistake again. Mm-hmm. And certain parts I turned down, mm-hmm. and it hurt when I turned them down, but I understand it now. And certain parts I take, like this one that we talked about, mm-hmm. doesn't pay as much as a big movie, but it's priceless. Mm.
You know, you were raised in Brooklyn, and you talk about you had a home, you know, home that valued freedom, and you were raised to have an open mind. How important was all of that to be what you described as a malleable actor? How do those connect? How does one inform the other?
It seems like they were the people I grew up with were children of the intellectual cream of the crop of America. They came out of the universities, they're actors. They had people like John Garfield and Arthur Miller went to the same school I went to. There's an ambiance of artistry came straight out of Europe, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And they went underground in order to keep their philosophy. And then they were willing to be communists, which they were not. And they started the unions. And then I grew up with the children. There's no, when my parents were not home on time for dinner, I could go and get some tilapia fish, some lasagna, some, it depends on who was home.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't have that problem. We were all poor.
Right.
We played with our fists and broomstick handles, and we were in 7th Avenue.
Yeah,
and I want that to happen again. That's America.
Well, you were sort of raised in a multicultural way. So even though you were, this was the 60s, and you know, when obviously racism was at its height in some way, you didn't come at it from that point of view. You were all the same in your eyes, right? You didn't have that sort of us versus them didn't exist in your vocabulary, right?
Not in my life. No, I mean my contemporaries were the Mamas and the Papas and Eric Clapton and the Beatles, and the Rolling Stones, Joan Baez.
Cool.
And they were very comfortable. We were comfortable together.
Yeah. By the way,
I don't know where to go now.
Yeah, I know. It's just so divided now. But there's something really interesting. I didn't know you could ball. You got a scholarship at NYU to play basketball. You were drafted by the Knicks. Like, I didn't know that.
To the rookie camp. I was invited to the rookie camp the same year that Cal Ramsey, Happy Hairston, and Stetson Sanders were there. And they went to, Stetson went to the Celtics, and Happy went to the Lakers. And I went to Raising in the Sun.
I think
I had more money in my pocket than they had in the bank.
I mean, I'm a Celtics fan. I grew up in New England, so I would have liked to see you on the Celtics.
You remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been following them since I was a little kid with my dad. I remember being in Boy Scouts, and whenever the Celtics played and we were out camping, the Scoutmasters would take us to, like, some restaurant or something so we could listen to it on the radio, and then we'd go back into the woods and camp. Like, we were obsessed with the whole, yeah, absolutely. And
it was a great time.
Yeah. So what was it about? Because I also, you thought about being a neurosurgeon. But you talk about acting kept pulling you. What was it about acting at that stage of your life where, you know, you have these amazing opportunities in front of you, basketball, you know, medicine. What was it about that was pulling you?
It was like lightning in the bottle. Every time I turned away from it, it came back.
Mm. Yeah. It sort of picked you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I fell back into a lead on a Broadway show, never having acted before. Here I am on Broadway, in a lead on a Broadway show in 1953 with a whole bunch of professional actors. And that's lightning in the bottle.
Yeah. How nervous and scared were you going? Like, you had to be. You're just, that's major with major actors. I mean, obviously you're very talented, but what is that like? It's, you know, like sports, right? It's the big time. How do you get
your? They took such good care of me. They took such good care of me that it became second nature. And so, of course, now it's the birth of the Actor Studio. It became my second home.
Oh. So you were there at the beginning, huh?
Yeah, with the Brandos and Anthony Quinns and even Ray Saints and the Paul Newmans, Rick Thorne, Bruce Dern, all those great actors and actresses.
And you're learning from each other as you're. You know, I've been in acting class when I'm there. We're watching each other. We're learning from each other. And can you remember some of the things that you took away from watching your fellow actors?
Sense memory. Remember what's happening in your life, and you take it and put it in your bank, mm-hmm. In your back pocket when you need it in front of a camera or on a stage,
right.
To redo it again.
Right.
Sense memory.
Right. Did you have Strasberg? Did you work with him?
I had Strasberg, but I only had Peggy Fury.
Oh, okay.
Strasberg's biggest teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I know what you mean about lightning in a bottle. Like, I was a lawyer and a banker, and I got pulled by comedy, and I kept thinking that I was just going to suppress it, and it just kept coming out in different ways.
Eventually,
and eventually I left to go into it full time. And I do think that the work you're doing is important because, you know, you talk about sort of, you have a foundation, the Eracism Foundation, which is dedicated to eradicating racism. When you were a young guy in Hollywood, you got pulled over by the cops for no reason. You got chained to a tree. And you say we need each other so desperately. You know, you talk about putting a knee over a man's neck or lynching is self-destructive. I was just going to say, you had to make a peace. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing as if you put your knee on a man and he dies on Tuesday. It could have been the man who's going to save your life on Wednesday.
Think about that. Yeah, yeah. That's exactly where I was going with it. You talk about you had to make a peace, but it's coexistence. And when you say make a peace, meaning you can't, as angry as you might be as a black man or black woman toward racism, you have to control that? Like, what do you mean by making peace?
We have to redirect it somewhere else. And God is in charge all of the time, even when you don't like his decision. That takes us out of the driver's seat. And we become very humble.
Right. I like, what kind of dog do you have?
That's what we are. Please, he's barking at the chains in my swimming pool. I have an indoor swimming pool. It goes into a like this. He can't, you know, not like it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I wasn't sure if it was that or he was objecting to what you were saying, but that's cool. No. Have you always been, you seem spiritual and God has plays a big part in your life. Has that always been a case with you or did that come later? Because I know when you've
been there, either in the front or in the back, it's always been there.
Yeah.
I started with my great grandmother who died at the age of 115.
Yeah.
And I've always had that kind of influence, thank God.
Yeah.
And, but then it's so easy to go another direction.
Yeah.
I started in the other direction and for some great reason, I did not go.
Yeah. Good for you. Yeah, well, before we wrap up, you know, you talk about kind of, it's my term, not yours, but maybe losing your way a little bit in Hollywood when you sort of got sort of, you know, distracted by the,
yeah.
the by the bling and you know, all that other stuff and, you know, the partying or whatever. How did you pull yourself out of that or did somebody pull you out of that? How did you not go down that hole?
There's enough people who, I looked up one morning, it was July 4th, and it was very quiet. Old food on the floor. My dogs were hungry. There was nothing left, nothing in the bank. I was in Hollywood and in Malibu, and there was nothing left. And I had to make a major decision. So I called my sons, and they got me in a car and sent me straight to rehab.
Wow.
It's called the bottom.
And you had to start all over again in terms of rebuilding your career and everything, huh?
Yeah, not all over again because it was a nice move. And when they said that you're in rehab, you get better. They put you back on the list.
There you go.
Like Robert Downey Jr. is on the top of the list. And, Mike, and you know, all those guys.
Yeah.
They're back on the top of the list. Making a lot of money, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they work for you.
Baldwin. Yeah. I'm proud of them, those gentlemen.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine it's very tempting when you get the Oscar and you're the guy in town and everybody wants to get close to you. So they're giving you drugs or this or that or the other thing. I can imagine that's
and
hard.
They
to
want to get involved and make the money and steal it or whatever they have to do. That's
the
nature of the beast.
Yeah. Well,
you can hear that story. Somebody's given from different ways.
Yeah. Well, you have a great quote about retiring. You say, as long as I'm here, there is a job to do for the benefit of all of us for what it's worth. So keep doing that job. It's a great sentiment. Yeah, man, you got a great vibe and it's a real honor to talk to you. The film is The Reason. It's out now everywhere or will be out December 15th. And it's really great to talk to you. A really positive person. And I wish you the best. And I hope you act till 100. I hope you act till 115 like your grandmother.
Yeah, my English teacher said, hey, you go down there and try out for the Broadway show. It wouldn't hurt.
Well, it's great to have you on. Louis Gossett Jr., everybody. There you go, Louis Gossett Jr. Hope you enjoyed it. I really liked how he sort of looks at life and, you know, just super honest about himself and everything. Well, listen, have a great holiday. Check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/PaulMercurio. Always posting stuff there, and we'll see you next week, everybody.